Even so, I say to you, there will be joy among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, and dear parishioners, we just celebrated the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus on Friday, and so therefore I would like to speak about the Sacred Heart of Jesus in today's sermon. And we know that this whole month of June is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and how great a need there is for this devotion and for reparation to be offered for the sinfulness that is the sins that are committed that offend him so much. So let's talk about the heart. It's a very important organ in the body. As we know, it has the all-important task of circulating blood. I think it's been called the hardest working muscle in the body because it has to continuously work throughout our lives. It cannot rest. It's really not that big from what I understand. It's only about the size of a fist. But what that does throughout our life is pulse. And it pushes the blood through the arteries, through the veins. It brings nourishment, it brings oxygen to every single part of the body. And it also removes from what I understand, waste, dead cells. And again, if it stopped working just for a few minutes, or maybe even less than that, we would be dead. That's how much the rest of the body depends upon the heart. If you ever want a reason to be grateful. And of course, we have countless reasons for gratitude. Think of your heart not stopping to beat throughout the night. It's not even something we think about. And yet, if the heart had stopped beating during the night, we wouldn't be here this morning. So physiologically, the heart is extremely crucial. But then we think of the heart in other ways. We think of it being the seat of emotion. And really, I think it's more correct to say it's in the brain, but we localize it in the heart, at least the heart area, which is why on Valentine's Day, the most common symbol, the only symbol really, is the heart that is used to display that idea that it's the seat of our emotions. But again, we do need to remember this, that true love is an act of the will. It even transcends the feelings we have. We make choices to do good unto others, even if our feelings are against it. We see the heart as that which harmony appeals to. In music, when you have harmony, voices blending in proper intervals, when it's done well, when it's done correctly, it appeals to the heart. We often have expressions of how important this core is. We say, let's get to the heart of the matter. Or when we want to express the fullest amount of feeling, we say, from the bottom of my heart. Or we talk about heartfelt condolences or heartfelt expressions. So we can see how important the heart is, not just physiologically, but emotionally and symbolically. So the heart is so very important, and every one of us has one. Every human being has one. Interestingly, and this is a biological fact, that the heart begins to beat, science tells us this, some 18 to 21 days after conception. There's already heart activity going on in the unborn baby. So let's use this knowledge and apply it now to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the church tells us that the Sacred Heart is adorable because the entire human nature of our Lord, united to his divinity, is therefore adorable. We are not just to honor, we are to adore the Sacred Heart of Jesus as we adore his entire person. So right away, that's the most important aspect, to think of the adorableness of our Lord. And he's the only one that we can really say truly, in the true sense of the word, he's adorable. I know that word is used sometimes in other ways, but that's not really not correct. There's only one person. There's the three persons in God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They alone are adorable in the literal meaning of that word. The Sacred Heart, again, as I was talking about, it's a symbol of love. So the Sacred Heart of Jesus symbolizes that, the fact that he not only loves us as Almighty God infinitely already and loves us with his will, he also loves us with a true human affection. And that is what is such a powerful aspect of the devotion to the Sacred Heart. You can tell when somebody really likes you, when somebody cares for you, when somebody feels that love for you. And we need to know this of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that he loves us, again, as I said, not only in his infinite divine will and his human will, but his human emotions love us that much. Having a human heart means having human emotions, and that's a reality. Having emotions means we are going to be hurt. So many times we were wounded, we were hurt, we were offended. And sometimes it's just somebody not caring that should care. And so we begin to understand more and more how much the human heart, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, suffers. Whatever we feel as human beings in our heart, Jesus felt those same things. So again, what is it that hurts Jesus? It's sin. Because sin, every sin, mortal sin especially, but even venial sin, they wound his heart. Because the human creature is choosing some forbidden pleasure, some forbidden action, and doesn't care about Almighty God at that moment. That's the evil of sin. We choose to do something that offends God. But it's not just sin, but even just thoughtlessness, not caring. That really hurts when it's people that should care for you, the people, the closer they are, the more it would hurt if they don't care. But this is what Jesus willingly took upon himself by taking on a human nature. He took on the ability to experience that emotional frustration and pain. It's part of being human. It's so powerful that when Jesus died on the, after Jesus died on the cross, his heart was pierced with a lance. We are told that the centurion did it to check to see that, or to make sure that he was not alive anymore, because he didn't want to break his legs. Believe it or not, that was a merciful ending to the agony of crucifixion for so many people. It would break their legs. Then they couldn't push themselves up and they would die more quickly of asphyxiation. And he didn't want to do that. Surely this man was the Son of God, the gospel tells us. But even that act of jamming the spear into his side was a defilement of the body. Unknowingly, probably, the centurion was fulfilling a prophecy, not a bone of him shall you break. So Jesus had already died. He's making sure that he's not alive by piercing his heart. And St. John tells us that immediately there came out blood and water. It's like our Lord had to give us not just most of his blood, but every last drop. And where would those last few drops be residing? In his heart. The water would have been what looked like water would have been the pericardium, the sac around the heart. And when that is, that has that's a liquid, a clear liquid in there, or at least relatively clear. And so that's what St. John was seeing, the blood and the water. Interestingly, in every Mass, there's a few drops of water that are placed in the chalice. It's part of this very important rubrics of the Mass. The wine represents our Lord's divinity, and the few drops represents humanity, our humanity, but especially his humanity. So that apparent defilement actually turned out to be a most wonderful spiritual reality, a reminder to us that the wound in his sacred side, that wound that refuses to heal, as do the other four wounds, it is a spiritual refuge for all of us to go literally. The saints talk about this. The theologians talk about this. The fathers of the church talk about this. Mystically or spiritually, we can enter through that wound into his sacred heart and find a most secure refuge. Fathers, as we honor you today, I urge you in your devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This will make you a better father, better husband, a better leader and provider, which you are called upon to do. And through a greater devotion to the Sacred Heart, you will bless your families. You will inspire them to a greater love. I'm so happy that Father James has been spearheading this effort to have a monthly holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament exposed and calling the men of the parish, especially to that. That cannot be but a very, very beneficial thing. So I urge you to this devotion. I mean, it's so appealing in every way. And it will make us holier. It will make us conquer sin. It will inspire us to offer reparation. And remember the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to those who practice this devotion. And of course, it coincides perfectly with the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which of course is God's will as revealed at Fatima. So let us carry this message with us always, the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and of course to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It will continue to inspire us and bless us and help us. May the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary be honored, praised, and glorified now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.